call the July 16th, 2024 regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance led by Eagle Scouts Luke Casitas and Ian Gans from Boy Scout Troop 16 of Stone Ridge. Thank you. Ian and Luke, please come up and join us at the podium here. I'd like to now invite Legislator Eric Stewart to the podium to present the Pride of Ulster County Awards to both Luke and Ian in recognition of their newly accredited Eagle Scout ranking.
So Ian.
Yeah.
Luke. I wanted to congratulate
you guys on this great honor, and I have to say it's an honor for me to do this as well because I myself am an Eagle Scout. I was awarded that honor when I was 18, and that was during the administration of Ronald Reagan, so that gives you an idea of how old I am. but anyway, like I said, this is a great thing for you guys and for the community, and I just briefly wanted to kind of give you all an overview of what this entails, and then we're going to ask these fine young gentlemen to say a few words about their projects. I'm going to start with Ian. So both of these gentlemen are from Troop 16, and they're both natives of Stone Ridge, and I just want to say, since I've been here in the legislature for the last 2.5 years, I think that every Eagle Scout award that we have presented, every Eagle Scout that we have presented the Pride of Ulster Award to, has been from Troop 16. So you guys are doing something really good. So many thanks to you for your leadership and for your guidance for these young gentlemen. Ian was awarded his Eagle Scout Award in May. His Eagle Scout project was doing a landscape improvement at the Hurley Reformed Church. He's also done some work with the Roundout Valley Food Pantry, and we'll hear more about the details of this in just a moment. Ian recently got his GED, and he currently works for Eagle Diesel Power, that's correct, in Kingston. So good for you. And Luke, I have to say, I know Luke's dad, John, who has served many years on the Town of Marble Town Planning Board. So it's a great pleasure to get to meet you and to see your dad again as well. Luke Casides is a Roundout Valley High School graduate of 2024. His project was building playground equipment at the Letterman Children's Center, which is a great facility that's located in Stone Ridge. I also wanted to give a shout out to James Sweeney, who is the scoutmaster of Troop 16. And unfortunately, James is not here tonight, but I understand that Matt is here, the assistant scoutmaster. So congratulations and thank you for all that you do for our community. And I also wanted to give a shout out to Ian's mom, Lynn Gans. So I understand that you are very instrumental in the scouting program. So thank you to you both. And so at this point, I think we want to present you guys with the Pride of Ulster Award. And this is for Ian. So here you go, sir. Pride of Ulster Award to Ian Gans. And the same to Luke Casides. And now I think we're going to ask both of them to say just a few quick words about what they did for their Eagle Scout project, and I will turn it over to Luke.
So, hello. I'm sure you all know my name by now. It was said like 60 times in the past 30 seconds. But so basically my project was to work for my alma mater. I know it's weird saying that already because I'm only 18, but my alma mater preschool, which was Letterman's Preschool, which is just off of 209 in Stone Ridge. And I wanted to make a project that would give back to something that had a huge impact on me as I was growing up. And that for me, that was Letterman's. I had so many great memories there and made so many friends that I still have to this day. And to work to give back to them, I went and talked to the board of directors there, and specifically the head of the board, who was Juliana Arms. And she was very helpful in this project. She gave me some great ideas, some great feedback. And in the end, we settled on building this pirate ship, which you guys can see over there, as it is completed. So basically, over the course of 3 months, me, my dad, and Juliana worked to design a playset. And then with the rest of the troop, we constructed it. And yeah, there's the final result up there. And all the kids are really loving it. So thank you. Yeah.
My name is Ian Gans. My project was redoing some of the garden beds at Marbletown Reformed Church. I grew up at the church since a young age. I always had my scout meetings there. It's always meant something to me, that church. So I decided to go back into it for my Eagle Scout project.
Excellent.
Chuck.
Yeah, if we could have people come up.
At this point, I was going to ask the members of Troop 16 and parents who want to attend to come up here and take a picture.
Another big round.
Thank you very much.
It's with gratitude and humility that I acknowledge that we are gathering on the ancestral homelands of the Mohican, Munsee Lenape, and Skaticook people, who are the indigenous peoples of Ulster County. To learn more about these tribes, past and present, please visit links available through our QR code. Tonight, we honor and celebrate Disability Pride Month. Disability Pride Month is celebrated every July and is an opportunity to honor the history, achievements, experiences, and struggles of the disability community. July marks the anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, landmark legislation that broke down barriers to inclusion in society. To learn more and to find out ways to get involved, I encourage everyone to read the article, Why and How to Celebrate Disability Pride Month, which can also be found through our session QR code. I want to call on Clerk Favela to please read the announcements and call the roll.
Fire evacuation plan. Please note that in the event of an emergency, the fire department has requested that legislators and all others move at least one block away from the county office building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Cell phones. Please silence cell phones for the duration of the public hearings and of session. Microphones. Please be reminded to use your microphones when speaking so that you are recorded for the official record. Roll call. Clinton.
Here.
Collins.
Here.
Corcoran.
Here.
Criswell.
Here.
Donaldson.
Here.
Guevaris.
Present.
Green.
Here.
Hansett.
Here.
Harmon.
Here.
Hewitt.
Here.
Kitchen.
Here.
Kovacs.
Here.
Levine.
Here.
Litz.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
Maloney.
Here.
McCullough.
Here.
Nolan.
Here.
Roberts. Sperry.
Here.
Stewart.
Here.
Uchitel.
Here.
And Walls.
Here.
Everyone is present. 23 here, 0 absent.
Thank you. Tonight we have two public hearings. Clerk Fabella, can you call the first public hearing?
Tonight's first public hearing is on proposed local law number 6 of 2024, a local law amending Article 30 of the Ulster County Charter and amending Article 30 of the Administrative Code for the County of Ulster and Section 216 of the Code in relation to the Commission on Human Rights to modify various provisions.
Thank you. And do we have anybody signed up to speak?
There are no speakers signed up.
Is there anybody present here who would like to speak on this subject? Anybody here who would like to speak on this subject? A third call for anybody who would like to speak on this subject. Seeing none, I call for, do we have to call this?
Mr. Adjournment.
Yes, I call for an adjournment, please.
Mr. Chairman, I will call for an adjournment of the public hearing.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? This is closed. And Clerk Fabella, can you please read the second public hearing?
Absolutely. Our second public hearing this evening is on proposed local law number 8 of 2024, a local law amending the Code of the County of Ulster to establish the Department of Assigned Counsel.
And do we have anyone signed up to speak on this? Is there anybody present who would like to speak on this subject? Anybody present who would like to speak on this subject? And a third call. Seeing none, motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to adjourn the public hearing.
Is there a second? Ms. McCullough. And all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. I'd like to now announce birthdays for the month. Legislator Chris Hewitt, July 4th. Happy birthday, sir. I'd ask for a motion to dispense with the reading of the previous meeting minutes.
Move to dispense with the reading of the minutes.
And a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. There are various communications listed and on file in the clerk's office that remain available for inspection by those interested. Just contact the office of the clerk. I now grant privilege of the floor to Essie Lewis, who is Ulster County's Chief Diversity Officer, to share about disability and inclusion initiatives within the county. Joining Essie tonight is Vernon Bonds of the Apple Valley Deaf Task Force. Essie, welcome. Thank you for being here this evening.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. To the county legislators, all of you, and all of our guests, happy to see everyone. As you heard, I'm the Chief Diversity Officer for Ulster County. Really pleased to be with you all this evening, especially for Disability Pride Month. And Chair Criswell did steal some of my thunder, giving you all some of that history. So it's really really great that he was able to share those things. And I'm excited to be able to take this time to honor the diversity within the disabled community, to celebrate the achievements, and also to promote greater awareness and inclusion here in our county. So again, this year marks the 34th anniversary of the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act, which we commonly hear known as ADA. It was signed into law July 26, 1990. And it ensures equal opportunities in many areas of life, but very specifically employment, education, and public accommodation. So for this body, last year in October, on the 17th, 2023, this body unanimously adopted resolution number 555, which was the Think Differently legislation. And that is to assist and support individuals with special needs and their families. And to promote and provide services, to provide information about services and resources that are available, as well as encourage and educate the community and businesses on ways we can make facilities and services more accessible. So the executive office has created a page on our Participate Ulster site. And on that page, we will begin by allowing our public to share their ideas and thoughts about what is needed, what the disabled community needs, how we can share these resources, and be able to, again, support people with all abilities and encourage us all to think differently. The site will be live this month, and I do have a few screenshots of what the site will look like. I know everybody won't be able to see these, but just to know if any of us have seen, what Participate Ulster looks like at all? We have a few different initiatives on here. So this is just two of the pages of screenshots, and I can pass these around. We will be announcing when this is actually live for people to be able to share and tell us what is needed, as well as us share places that are already giving these supports to our community. And this weekend on Saturday, I know Gina Hansen and I'm inviting everyone here, all that can hear my voice. The RCAL, which is Resource Center for Accessible Living, as well as Harambe, are having a disability awareness parade. It starts at 11 a.m. on Saturday, kicking off from Frank Guido's Little Italy. It's 14 Thomas Street in Kingston, and that parade will end at People's Place. So this event is one of the types of events that will be shared on that Participate page, as well as RCAL and all of the many, many resources that they provide to our county. So as one Chief Diversity Officer of this county, also the child of two educators, I always try to come with a teachable moment for everyone. And so I like to give definitions specifically about DEIA, which is my place here in the county, right? So diversity is simply the presence of difference, right? We can look around and see how all of us may be different. Some of those differences we can't see as well. And then equity is the distribution of fairness and access, eliminating bias, harassment, and discrimination, and meeting people where they are, right? Meeting where they are, what they need specifically. Now, this is very different than equality. Than equity and equality are different, right? So equity is meeting people where they are. You might need more than I need to get to a certain level. Whereas equality is everyone having the same rights and opportunities. And then inclusion, welcoming, respectful, supported, valued, relied upon, and full participation. We want everyone to feel this way. Once we get all of this diversity, right, we want people to feel like we want them here. They belong. We're hearing them. We're listening to them. And then accessibility, making products, services, and opportunities available to everyone, that everyone can actually use them. And then the last definition is an ally. An ally is someone who validates the experiences of a marginalized person or group for their support. So I always endeavor to be an ally and to amplify those who aren't always heard or seen and those who are historically marginalized. So tonight I am sharing some of my time before this legislature with the Apple Valley Deaf Task Force, and they have helped me very much to think differently. We have their interpreter, an interpreter that we have used on the executive level for our speeches, and so I'm going to ask both Diane and Vernon to come and introduce themselves and share with you what it is that our deaf community is facing and what some of their needs are. And I thank you all for your time, and I hope to see some of you, if available, at the Disability Awareness Parade on Saturday.
Thank you. Essie Lewis, I believe, you know, you did a wonderful introduction, and I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. You know, my name is Vernon Bonds, and I am representing the Apple Valley Deaf Task Force, We have been working together for approximately 1 year now, improving the lives of deaf and hard of hearing people in the community. We've tried to work together with the independent living centers. And in my background and my experience, I have worked for the Newburgh Independent Living Center for over 32 years. And we have worked on employment and housing issues and accessibility issues, all in the means to try and improve services and products for individuals who live in this community. So I'm happy to see that there has been some improvement in this area as well. So I'm happy to live here in this Hudson Valley area. I don't want you to look at me as a person with a disability, because the perspective of a deaf person, we don't see ourselves as a person with a disability. We see ourselves as a person who can do everything that anyone else can do. And we just use sign language to be able to communicate, right? And then so we have barriers, yes, but the barriers are broken down by access such as tonight, right? A sign language interpreter is provided. So the access is there and we're having this conversation. So we are really looking forward to proposing some legislation for people with disabilities and having a disability budget put into place in New York State. We think that there's a great need for that budget to be put into place for people with disabilities in general, because there is always an issue about providing access services such as sign language interpreting services. There's never a budget that's set up for that in particular areas that we need to have that access. And there should be a budget set up for that so that that accessibility is easily attainable and that interpreters, if needed, are available for access for all of us to be able to communicate together, right? If there's an emergency, for instance, we want to make sure that there's an interpreter available right away and that there's not this discrepancy about, well, we can't afford it, we don't know where to find one, right? We have it ready and the budget is there and everything is set up for fair and equal access. And we're also working on writing some legislation for creating better interpreting services for deaf, hard of hearing, deaf blind individuals that use interpreting services. It really is for safety reasons, right? If any time we need to have an interpreter, it needs to be a qualified and a highly qualified interpreter. So we need to be sure that that's happening and that the qualifications of interpreters are looked at. And, you know, everyone in the state of New York needs a license, right? A barber, anyone, a manicurist. But interpreters don't need interpreters don't need a license. And that's just a big problem in this area. I mean, we've been working on that for over 25 years now to get that legislation passed. And it's ridiculous that interpreters don't need legislation. They don't need a license, and they should have licenses, and they should be licensed so that they're qualified and there's approval for that qualification, because otherwise we don't have that, and we don't know sometimes when the interpreters show up what their qualifications are. And another point I wanted to make today is also just having accessibility in general for safety reasons, emergency, 911 centers, things like that. People who are disabled need that in general, right? I mean, just the disabled population needs to be educating the 911 call centers, and perhaps there should be a special, you know, department for the 911 call centers where they're really well aware and trained on how and prepared to and trained to make sure that they know when a person is in the house that has some sort of disability, that they know how to confront that person and be able to manage that emergency. So, and we're willing to work together to improve those services. So obviously, you know, if a 911 call center or someone needs us to have, you know, training in that department for access, we'd absolutely be there to help that. So I commend the Boy Scouts, by the way, for your congratulations on your Eagle Scouts. I was an Eagle Scout myself before, so I'm very proud of you. That's wonderful. So great services that you're providing for this community as well. So thank you all very much for listening, and I bless you all. Thank you so much. Good night.
Thank you. I now grant privilege of the floor to Eva Walsh. Eva is the owner and manager of Maeve's Place Coffee Shop in Phoenicia, which is named after her daughter Maeve. Maeve's Place is a restaurant and shop which provides training and employment opportunities for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Eva has been a public advocate for expanding job opportunities for many disabled individuals over the past decade, such as when she gave testimony to the U.S. Congress earlier this year on enabling individuals with disabilities to work. Please join us. I call upon Legislator Kathleen Nolan, Gina Hansett, and Vice Chair Megan Sperry to present Maeve's Place with a Pride of Ulster County Award.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having us here. I would like to introduce Maeve. She is a reason and inspiration behind Maeve's Place. And my son and her brother, Daniel, who is now on our team as our chef. And I'm going to invite you to watch a little video. Now we're working with ARC on pre-vocational program. And I would like to say, all together, let's change the world by one cup of coffee at a time.
Sees the need for people to feel valuable and to be supported to become who they're meant to be, that everybody's got a purpose.
What Maeve's Place is all about is opportunity for people like my daughter with all different kinds of disabilities and abilities.
And it's really very quickly became one of our favorite places to go. She gives them food prep. She has them label, she has them do inventory. They get to run a register, wait on customers, make coffee. You know, it's not just we're going to go sweep floors. We're going out there and doing some really good work.
So basically, the individuals come here once a week for a couple hours, and it's pre-vocational training, so all different kinds of experiences, from retail to kitchen to counter work. The really big reason why I got into this in the first place, it's because of my daughter Maeve, who is now 26 years old with Down syndrome, and she is the inspiration and reason for Maeve's Place. So with that, opening door to more people like herself with learning and developmental disabilities, no brainer. It's our mission.
Because we knew that there was the understanding that comes from experience, it wasn't just I'm going to do this because I want to look good to the community. It was, I'm going to do this because I see a need.
When ARC reached out to me with this opportunity and possibility, I jumped on it immediately. I mean, it's really doing what Maeve's Place is here for, to really giving opportunity, not just training, but job opportunity. Then hopefully it will be fruitful.
Coming to know people with disabilities and seeing the potential, she works with what they can do instead of focusing on what they can't do. And that's huge, to be able to really bring out the capabilities and build confidence for them for their own future employment.
So what are we really hoping for? I'm sure not only ARC, but me personally as well, and Maeve's Place, is to really give individuals from ARC in a pre-work program to experience different kinds of jobs and different environments. And hopefully the key is that they will land a job that is going to be satisfying to them and they'll be able to shine. So I just would like to take this moment to thank to ARC for giving us the opportunity to be part of this amazing program. And I would like to thank my employees and obviously my family for giving me support, because this would not be possible without them. And our community, for most of all, for supporting this business.
Legislators, if you'd like to present the award. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I want to add my personal thanks to Eva and Maeve, her family, and the employees. I started going to Maeve's place when it first opened up in Pine Hill, and I loved seeing what this brought to the community and loved seeing Maeve grow up and gain confidence and have her products be offered to the community. And now down in Phoenicia, it's a much bigger space and a whole line of products that bring to us things that are created in places with people who are thinking differently. So it's a wonderful place. I go as often as I can regularly, and I'm delighted to present this Pride of Ulster County Award to Maeve's Place, owner Eva Walsh, Maeve, and their talented employees for commitment, kindness, and compassion for the differently abled community and for providing job opportunities and a supportive environment for skill development and a safe place to gather. Yeah. Thank you very much.
We're all going to have to come up and have a cup of coffee with you. Thank you for being here. Oh, Vice Chair Sperry, don't go away. I'm going to call you to the podium, along with Legislator Harmon, please come to the podium, to present a Pride of Ulster County Award to former New Paltz Chief of Police Robert Lucchese to celebrate his retirement and years of service. I invite former Chief Lucchese and his wife, Dr. Lucchese, to join them at the podium. Please join us. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Chief Rob Lucchese recently retired from his 31-year tenure as the New Paltz Chief of Police. Rob has been an incredible partner in creating models of public safety that are responsive, compassionate, and equitable. I was fortunate enough to collaborate with Rob as part of our Police Reinvention and Reimagination Commission in response to then-Governor Cuomo's Executive Order 203, along with our Chief Diversity Officer, Essie Lewis. Rob consistently goes above and beyond, acts with openness, honesty, integrity. Rob didn't wait for an edict. He saw a good idea and leapt to act upon it. Rob has been willing to take pressure from all manner of constituencies in his ongoing efforts to do what is right for our community, the officers of the department, and the profession of law enforcement as a whole. If we had more police like Rob Lucchese in our communities, they would be safer, our trust would be higher, and our dialogue would be so much more measured. Chief Lucchese, it is my honor and privilege, along with Vice Chair Sperry, to present you with this Pride of Ulster Award and to offer my heartfelt thanks for years of steadfast service and commitment to the challenging and rewarding work of equity in policing. Thank you.
Say a few words, please.
This is for you. All
these words are for you. Thank you. I just first want to say thank you. I am still
somewhat speechless when Legislator Harmon told me about this. I didn't know really what to say, and I'm still struggling with words. I'm humbled. I appreciate her support. The last 4 years were for me challenging, and I appreciated her counsel, her words, those of I see Lewis as well, and in what we were trying to accomplish in New Paltz. I also would want to thank and say how proud I am of the men and women of the New Paltz Police Department, because this award, it has my name, but it's theirs. None of this would have been possible without their support, without their buy-in, and without their sense of community and being invested in the people that we are there to protect and serve. So I just want to say thank you to them as well. It's their award more than even mine. So thank you.
Wait, fix your time. Thank you again, and congratulations.
You're welcome.
At this time, I'm going to move us into a period of public comment regarding resolutions on the agenda. I want to remind everyone that you have 2 minutes to speak, and this period is on resolutions before the legislature this evening. We encourage you to speak, and we ask everyone to keep their comments respectful. There will be time to speak on issues not before the legislature toward the end of session. If you need a reference to the agenda, we have a QR code available. Clerk Fabella, do we have anyone signed up for public comment?
We do. We have 4 speakers signed up.
Could you please call them?
The first speaker signed up is Ed Murray.
Welcome.
Hi, good evening. My name is Ed Murray. Probably didn't need to read that part. The CEO and founder of NDP Emergency Medical Services, commonly known as Northern Dutchess Paramedics. I'm here tonight to garner support for our application requesting operating authority in Ulster County. NDP EMS is a full-service ambulance provider that was established in 1994, and today we have over 150 employees and 25 emergency response vehicles serving Dutchess and Columbia counties in New York and the northwest portion of Litchfield County, Connecticut. For years, we've been watching the decline in available volunteers, as well as a nationwide shortage of EMTs and paramedics. This has left us with many challenges and creating different solutions for different areas. We would like to participate in a solution to help yours. In reading many news articles regarding Ulster County's issues on the subject, as well as responding to more than 120 mutual aid requests a year, in addition to reading the County Commissioned EMS Services Delivery Report, it felt like the right time to solicit interest in NDP. As of today, we have written support letters from Ulster County EMS Council and the City of Kingston Fire Department. And tonight, I'm here asking you for yours. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The next speaker signed up is Howard Ball.
Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Howard Ball. I'm a labor relations specialist with CSCA. I'm also a county taxpayer and resident for just about my entire life. I'm here to speak on resolution number 372. This is in relation to hiring security for the Crisis Stabilization Center, which in just a few months is going to be switched to a 24/7 operation. I can say that we support the increase in services. It's very important to provide those services to people in various levels of crisis. We do have a concern in terms of the security that's slated for this on a 24/7 basis, in that there's only going to be one person, one security guard, stationed at this site on an overnight basis. And, you know, this is a building that's in Midtown Kingston. It's going to be servicing a variety of folks that are in various levels of crisis. Their uniformed is not going to be that of a police or a traditional security guard uniform. It's going to be a lighter uniform, which we're not opposed to that. We understand it's the nature of the center. But we do have a concern with only having one person there on an overnight, and we think that there should be at a minimum two. And I just might add that in this building right now, for a meeting during daylight hours, there's a combination of six sheriff's deputies and security guards that are in this building right now as we speak for a public meeting during daylight hours where we don't have a population of people in crisis right now. So we're asking that be given some consideration, and that this resolution for the staff be doubled from what it is right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Michael Gaffney.
Good evening, everybody. Michael Gaffney, Deputy Director, Ulster County Emergency Services. I'm here tonight representing our director, Everett Erickson, who could not be here. Just some comments and some notes regarding NDP's expansion. The County Department of Emergency Services wanted to remain neutral in the expansion, and NDP, as stated, they currently do respond into the County of Ulster for emergencies. We have to first notify our mutual aid partners that have CONs, and then we can move beyond that to our outside partners, including NDP, and they do routinely help us out. We don't see a reason to we want to stay neutral. They can continue to do that and provide the assistance when needed. There are some statistics in here, but I don't think we have the need to get into that for right now. And in conclusion, we hope to work forward with NDP on some alternate solutions, including municipal contracts by municipalities and some other options that will come forward, hopefully, in the near future. Thank you.
Thank you.
The last speaker that we have signed up is Donna Schlockman.
Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Donna Schlockman. I'm from Exeter, and I'm here to support Resolution 371 to increase emergency eviction funding to ensure legal representation for those at risk of losing housing. This resolution is kind of like a Band-Aid trying to fix a gash known as the housing crisis. One of too little housing stock and too high housing costs. But it's a needed and it's a mighty Band-Aid. I do have a couple of concerns. One, can we be assured that this is truly tenant protection and not landlord-enabling legislation? Because the funds go directly to landlords, does the process of preventing evictions include some determination that rent is being paid appropriately and not simply adding to the pockets of landlords who elected to raise the rents without proof of need scenario? We don't want county government to be set up for being the normalizing of bloating rents. Secondly, under this program, there is a representation eviction court, but do tenants have access to help when landlords are violating basic tenant rights and tenants are being threatened by this and need assistance and need legal consultation? And I hope that these funds will go to help that situation before it becomes an eviction situation. So as I stated, I think this funding is needed. My hope is that it will be followed by bolder moves towards county-developed housing, so that we have affordable rents in perpetuity for our citizens. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else present who would like to speak on resolutions before the legislature this evening?
anybody else who would like to speak? And a third call. Okay, thank you very much. I'm now going to move us into consent and non-consent agenda. Majority Leader, you should tell us, is there anything moving in or out of consent?
Yep. Chair Criswell, we would like to move resolutions 114 and 116 into consent. And moving out of consent, we offer 359, 395, 402, and 403.
Minority Leader Roberts, is there any objection to that? Thank you. And on the consent agenda?
On the consent agenda, we are a short yes with the following abstentions: Resolution 366, Chair Criswell, and Resolution 323, Legislator Gavaris.
We are a short yes with one exception, 385, Legislator Litz, for the purpose of employment.
The resolutions are adopted 23-0, with the exception of 323 is adopted 22-0 with one abstention, Legislator Gavaris. Resolution 366 is adopted 22-0 with one abstention, Legislator Criswell. And 385 is adopted 22-0 with one abstention, Legislator Litz.
Thank you. Moving on to the non-consent agenda.
The first resolution in non-consent is 221, supporting Northern Dutchess Paramedics application for a certificate of need to provide ambulance service to Ulster County.
Yes, Legislator Kovacs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a memorializing resolution in support of NDP Paramedics application for a certificate of need. This resolution will not result in any financial impact on Ulster County, nor will it bind Ulster County or compel us to do business with NDP Paramedics. If a certificate of need is granted by the New York State Department of Health to NDP, the various municipalities in Ulster County will have additional flexibility to enter into contracts with NDP as they see fit to provide EMS services to their towns. Our Ulster County EMS report, which was released earlier this year, stated that emergency services in Ulster County are at a crossroads. A certificate of need for NDP is not going to be a long-term solution for us, but it is a step in the right direction. We have seen various towns step up and find EMS solutions at the municipal level, such as Marbletown's creation of an ambulance district. This is great, but due to the economies of scale, it would make sense for some sort of countywide or at least a county ambulance district, which due to its size would be less expensive for county residents. To have another provider, such as NDP, to be part of the solution is encouraging. But we need to show our constituents that we are working on solving this EMS crisis. This resolution is one small step in the right direction.
Thank you. Legislator Donaldson. There's a motion to send it back to committee. Is there a second? I see a second from Legislator Collins. On the motion to send it back to committee.
On the motion to send it back to committee, we are a short yes, I believe, with one. All right, let's let debate continue.
Legislator Maloney.
You know, after going back and forth on this, I agree with what Jason just said. And it's unfortunate because we just don't seem to have the ability to take on real projects, to get real things done. It's all press releases. It's all narrative creation. We have people in this county that aren't getting ambulances at all, or they're waiting 40 and 50 minutes when they're having heart attacks. At least what Jason has put up is something to get a little competition here, to get another agency in here working on it. But it's sad when I open up the paper day by day and I see, you know, giant checks for $15,000 and three or four high-paid county officials holding the check and smiling and reading books to kids, recreating Beatles covers. There's real problems in the county, and something needs to be done. But to be completely honest with you, I don't think we've elected or appointed capable people that are going to be able to take something like this on. So let's get a little competition in here. Rely upon the private sector as much as we can, hope there's any money left, which we're going to be running out of. But this is one of the major, major problems in this county that we were kind of ignoring and not even releasing a study until Mike Baden came up here and pointed it out. The next day it comes out. It's all games. It's all narrative creation. And the real work of the people that we desperately need done just isn't being done. And it's overwhelming. It's sad. But it's the state of affairs here. All the real, the homelessness crisis, the lack of ambulance service, all these capital projects, solid waste, all these major topics we just dance around and never deal with. Put out a little something.
Legislator Maloney, I'm going to ask you to stick to the actual resolution that we're talking about, please.
And I am. It's on the same list.
Please stick to the topic at hand. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I've gotten used to this. I'll be a yes.
Thank you. So there's a motion on the table right now, on the floor right now, to send this back to committee, and it's been seconded.
Yeah, I just want to speak to it before I call the vote.
I'll give that privilege, yes, Majority Leader, you should tell.
I'll be a no. I said yes, but I'm a yes if it doesn't go back to committee, but I'll be a no on sending it back to committee.
Thank you for that correction.
So just before we call the vote, I just am speaking on the postponement. Our caucus had a lot of questions about the resolution that we feel it could be stronger. There was some confusion about whether this actually would create more competition. Those questions aren't going to get answered tonight, and that's why I personally will be supporting the postponement. But I do think it's a worthwhile conversation to have. And for those that feel that we don't spend enough time on resolutions here, we're spending more time on one. So.
Thank you. Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This resolution was defeated in committee, I believe, last month. It went through the petition of discharge. Took a month to get up here. And now all of a sudden on caucus night, we have questions. I think we should just pass this. This provides a partial solution. It's a stepping stone, but we need to do more.
Thank you. Legislator Collins.
I'm supporting sending this back to committee because I feel if there's an up and down vote here, it may fail. I'd rather see us work out the issues so that we can get more yeses on this vote and make sure it passes instead of failing and not being able to be brought up again. So that's why I am supporting going back to committee to answer some of the questions that some of the legislators have. Thank you.
Thank you, Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I'm supportive of Legislator Kovacs' resolution, so I'm a no on sending it back to committee.
Thank you. On the motion.
On the motion to refer to the Law Enforcement and Public Safety Committee, we are a short yes with two no's, Legislators Maloney and Hewitt.
Short no, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And thank you for clarifying which committee it was going back to. I appreciate that.
The motion to refer back is adopted 13-10. The next resolution was pulled from consent, and that was 359. 359 is adopting proposed local law number 6 of 2024, local law amending Article 30 of the Ulster County Charter, Article 30 of the Administrative Code, and Section 216 of the Code of the County of Ulster in relation to the Commission of Human Rights to modify various provisions.
Legislator Harmon.
Thank you, Chair. With a desire to honor insights brought to our attention about some of the nuanced language in the proposed local law, I would like to make a motion to refer this resolution number 359 back to Laws, Rules, and Government Services Committee.
Second.
There's a motion on the floor and a second by Majority Leader Uchitel. On the motion?
On the motion, we are short yes.
Short yes.
Thank you.
The motion is adopted 23-0. The next resolution is 382, amending capital project number 653, Hall of Records, building rooftop solar array project for construction services, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works.
On the motion?
On the motion, we are a short yes with one no, Legislator Gavaris.
Short yes.
Thank you. I meant resolution, not motion, by the way.
Thank you.
The resolution is adopted 22-1. The next resolution is a bond resolution authorizing the issuance of an additional $120,000 bonds of the County of Ulster, New York to pay part of the cost of the Hall of Records rooftop solar array project in and for said county. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Guevaras.
Yes.
Green.
Hartful. Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen. Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Blitz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
Walls.
Yes.
Kitchen. The resolution is adopted 23-0.
And I want to take a moment to just welcome Legislator Kitchen back. Thank you for coming back to us. Appreciate that. Good to see you, sir. You're welcome.
The next resolution was also pulled from consent, and that is Resolution 395. Amending the 2024-2029 Capital Improvement Program, establishing Capital Project Number 703, Sheriff's Office Technology Purchase, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget, Ulster County Sheriff.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one no. Legislator Hewitt.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-1. 396 is the bond resolution authorizing the issuance of $275,890 bonds of the County of Ulster, New York to pay the cost of the purchase of Sheriff's Office technology equipment for said county. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Guevaras.
Yes.
Green. Hansett?
Yes.
Harmon?
Yes.
Hewitt?
I'm a no, and I'd like to explain. As long as Axon is getting money from our county, as I'm in favor of divestment from companies that are destroying the world, I'm a no on Axon, although I know that we must have this technology for our sheriff's office. So I would be a yes if we were a close vote, but I'm a no because I'd like to incentivize local companies to make drones and body cameras, but until our government can start promoting certain types of local business, I'm a no on Axon.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walls.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-1. The next resolution was pulled from consent 402, authorizing the County of Ulster to dedicate County Road 1, also known as Lucas Avenue, partially located in the town of Ulster, in honor of all Ulster County Vietnam War veterans past and present.
Anybody want to speak on this?
I believe like a roll call, if we can all show.
Legislator Nolan.
Yes, I'd just like to give the opportunity to the community to hear again about this dedication. And that's the reason that this body has asked for this these two resolutions to be pulled, so we can take this time to give this special honor its due here.
Thank you. And I heard a call for a roll call.
Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Absolutely.
Donaldson.
Most definitely yes.
Guevaras.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes. Thank you for your service.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Absolutely. As a veteran myself. Absolutely.
Kovacs.
I was quite moved by the Vietnam vets who spoke at the public hearing last month. As we all know, the men and women who came back from Vietnam were not treated with respect and the respect that they deserved so greatly. So I'm a yes.
Levine.
I'd just like to echo the comments made just a second ago by Legislator Kovacs. It was deeply moving seeing all of the Vietnam veterans and the family members, the Gold Star family members that came and spoke at the public hearing last month. That it was truly moving to me, and I just want to say thank you to everybody that came and proudly cast my vote in the affirmative on this.
Litz.
An enthusiastic yes.
Lopez.
On behalf of my dad, who's a Vietnam combat vet, I am a very enthusiastic yes. Thank you.
Maloney.
My father, my brother, many family members, many friends, many constituents, all veterans. Obviously, this is great. But as we all sit here and pat ourselves on the back and act like we're doing something real by changing the name of a road or a bridge, there's veterans that aren't getting proper help at veterans' hospitals. No dental, they're getting booted out of homeless shelters for undocumented. And here we are just patting ourselves on the back and thinking we're really doing something for veterans. If we really cared about veterans, we'd not celebrate something like this and act like we're doing something real. We'd actually do something real to help the vets, have the tough conversations, find the funding. But we don't do that. We pat ourselves on the back and go home tonight really feeling we helped the vet because we changed the name of a road. Sorry to be the reality check, but that is a reality check.
Yeah. Yeah. McCullough.
Absolute yes.
Nolan.
With great gratitude and recognizing that this request came from the veterans, yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
As this is partly in my district, I'm an enthusiastic yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walls.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 23-0. 403, also pulled from consent, authorizing the County of Ulster to dedicate County Road 5, also known as Hurley Mountain Road, partially located in the town of Hurley, in honor of all Ulster County Gold Star families, past and present.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 23-0. Resolution 407, approving the execution of a contract amendment for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the county, the Gordon Group, Inc., Department of Public Works.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one no. Legislator Gavaris.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-1. Resolution 410, authorizing budget director to make certain transfers of funds for the Department of Budget.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one no. Legislator Gavaris.
Short yes. Legislator Walls left the room.
I see that. The resolution is adopted 21-1. The next resolution, our last resolution in non-consent currently, is 414, authorizing submission of a grant application to the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation and the New York State Dormitory Authority for the New York State wide investment in more swimming, New York Swims Grant, Department of Public Works.
Legislator Litz.
Yes, I would like to explain my vote. I voted no in committee, and I will vote no tonight. Not about fixing the pool. That's not the issue in my mind. We should fix the pool. Matter of fact, I worked the past couple of days coming up with a better solution on how to do that. Instead of tearing up the pool, we can reline the pipe and put it back in service in a shorter period of time. But the reason I said no in committee and the reason I'm saying no tonight is this grant application had to be submitted by this past Friday. So in committee, I said, you know, it's kind of a mute point. We're going to vote on Tuesday, and so you're going to miss the deadline date for the submittal of the application. And he said, no, we'll put it in, and you guys can vote on Tuesday. And I said, well, it doesn't work that way. Because there's a 20% match that the county has to put up. The county has to encumber that funding to put the application in. And the last I knew, that side of government is administration and the county executive and day-to-day operations. But when it comes to policy and appropriation of money, that's the legislature's duty. And like I said, it has nothing to do with fixing the pool. We need to fix the pool. We should fix the pool. But we also need to abide by the current law of our county that says when we're going to encumber money, the legislative body needs to approve the grant, approve the submission of the grant application. So I am a no, because we have laws and rules that apparently we can pick and choose when we want to adhere to the laws and rules and when we don't want to. And if it's slightly unclear that, you know, when we should do what, then this body needs to refine the policy as to when and where and which grants can and cannot be submitted with or without our concurrence. So I am a no, because this one needs our occurrence, and it was submitted on Friday. Today is Tuesday. They overstepped their bounds as the administrative body of this government.
Legislator Maloney, then Nolan, then Collins.
Sure, thank you. Besides the fact that there shouldn't really be a county pool, New Paul should probably have two pools. Saugerties wants to have a pool, we'll have a pool and pay for it. Kingston's got a pool, Rosendale's got a pool, they pay for it. I think if you go back into history, it's more games, how that pool ended up there and why. But what my colleague here just said, I got a phone call from a local contractor that was questioning me about what was really going on with the pool and suspect of whether it could have been fixed easier, quicker, and cheaper. I told him to call Herb, the engineer who's helps run DPW, and talk to him. I suspect, I really did wonder, with all the things I see in this county over the last couple of years, I wondered who came up with the overall diagnosis and if they were right. Sounds like we might not have been again. And what Legislator Litz just brought up, this is the second month in a row we're approving something that's already been done and spent. And we just don't care. There is no separate branch of government anymore. There is no legislature. We are an extension of the executive. This comes down to democratic establishment control, where nothing matters. Policies don't matter. Checks and balances don't matter. Doesn't matter that we're the fund appropriators. We're all on the same team. We all get together. That's why we start off every meeting with an hour of rejoice. And that's how government's supposed to be. Well, it doesn't work. It doesn't work in this case, and it doesn't work in general, as we can see. But once again, I'll be the reality check that everybody will just resent and try to figure out ways to get me out of here.
Legislator Nolan.
Yes. Details matter. And there's no money encumbered at this point. There was no money encumbered by the submission of this application. And there is no policy that says that the executive branch cannot submit an application that doesn't require a statement saying that the legislature has already approved. So this application did not require any such statement. So the application was submitted. That's kind of like the beginning of the process. And then we either move forward because we want to repair the pool, which is a great source of comfort to people, recreation, but actually also public health on hot days. We are, in a sense, completing or curing the application by our vote tonight. Or if we, the body, decide that we don't want to have 80% of our pool repairs covered by the state of New York, we could turn down this money and then that application would be withdrawn. So we are proceeding in a stepwise fashion, but also with a sense of urgency because the problem at the pool developed after the resolution deadline. If there were more time, the executive's office has been very forthcoming with all of their applications, telling us what they're doing, giving us a chance to review in advance whenever possible. This one wasn't possible. So I don't think it's fair to say that this was done without legislative approval. The step that took place did not require legislative approval. To encumber money and receive that grant award, we would have to commit to 20% of the repairs. I am very happy to have the Ulster County tax dollars of 20% rather than 100% go to the repair of this pool. And so I heartily endorse this application having gone in as a very practical, sensible way to take care of the members of our community.
Legislator Collins.
Legislator Nolan basically said exactly what I was going to say, so thank you, Legislator Nolan.
Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I'd like to publicly urge the county executive to hire the parks director that is in our budget. The Freeman got it wrong twice and said it was a $43,000 salary. It's actually an $86,000 salary that's supposed to start July 1st. That's why it's in the budget for 43 this year, but it's an annual position at $86,000 a year that can handle a problem like this, unless it sounds like Herb can do it. I'm just kidding. Hang on.
All right. Let's
and also we can rethink this space now that we have to redo it or possibly improve it to make it a county public space that can include a pool, sprinklers, cooling areas, but to think about third places, not just work, not just home, but where do we gather to sip lemonade and talk to each other? It could be a public space like this.
Okay. Legislator Green, you for the first time, and then Legislator Litz.
Yeah, I very much support the resolution, but I also know that Legislator Litz often comes up with very good solutions, and I hope that there'll be communication so that it could cost less and be quicker and more effective.
Thank you. Legislator Litz for the second time.
Thank you. Part of this grant application, I mean, it's $150 million, $10 million to any one individual application. In the explanation that was given when we talked about this, several times it was brought up, this pool is 50 years old. It needs work. The grant application was open for several months. So I understand the urgency of late because a pipe broke and the pool was leaking. But if, in fact, the impetus of this program and our application to it is based upon an aged pool of 50 years that needs renovations and revampment, that process certainly could have taken place long before this past week. I believe it's the broken pipe that someone said, oh, wait, there's a grant for that, and we can do that. The urgency was only spurred on, you know, at the 11th hour, not because it's a 50-year-old pool and needs renovations. It's because of a broken pipe. And you're right. This application should have been filled out months ago and brought here. And then the $10 million portion of – or a portion of the $10 million could have fixed the pipe once we found out we had a broken pipe. But to answer the question about the resolution – if you look on the bottom where it says financial impact, state share will be a maximum of 80% of the total project cost, 20% county match required. I don't know how somebody can say we're not encumbering anything by passing, putting the application in because the application requires 20% match, which, yes, does involve legislature appropriating money for this capital project. So I don't know how you can tell me that you start the process by putting the application in, but when you put the application in, you are telling the state that you have encumbered 20% match of the application.
Legislator Harmon.
Just a point of clarification, if I understand correctly, that application isn't binding. So that's why it doesn't, that's why the cart could go next to the horse, proverbially, in this case. If we don't want to put the 20% up, we don't, and the application does not hold us to anything at this point.
Council tells me that is correct. Legislator Maloney.
Essentially, what we're saying is it wouldn't cost us anything if we pulled out. So we could put the state through the application process, the approval process. We're intimating to the state that, yes, we have the exec put a grant in to the state basically saying, yes, I have this money, basically saying it was approved by the legislature. None of that happened. This is not good practice. It's not past practice. It is definitely not a good precedent to start. Those are facts, but yes, could the state then take this application, approve it? If we voted no now, we'd then have to tell the state, sorry, that'd be a great relationship to start with the state as well. Give them grants and then say, well, we're gonna approve this, but do you really have the money on this one? It's never been done like this. It shouldn't be done like this. I guarantee it will be done like this again and again. Now it's already starting, second month in a row.
On the resolution. Oh, I'm sorry, Legislator Collins for a second time.
I just want to point out this: if we say no to this tonight, the application will be pulled tomorrow. The state will not be approving it. They will not be looking at it. We will pull the application tomorrow. So it's not this, we're going to go through all this process, the state's going to do all this work, and we're going to say no 2 months from now. We're going to say no today, and the answer will be to the state tomorrow. It is an unfortunate sequence of timing. You know, the pool went bad. They found this grant. The grant was due before we met. That was unfortunate. At the same time, really would be nice to have the money from the state to fix the pool instead of us doing it on our taxpayer dollar. And this needs to be looked at in a larger context of grants and our approval of grants. We do need better understanding of what and when grants can be applied for with or without our approval. I agree with Legislator Litz. This is not perfect timing. This is not the way it should be done, but it's the way that this happened to get done because of the timing with the pool and the grant deadline. So unfortunate as the timing is, I think it's still something that we need to say to vote on.
Legislator Litz, you need to borrow time from someone. Thank you, Legislator Kovacs.
Like the first time I spoke, it's not about the pool. It's about setting a precedent. It's about allowing bending the rules at any time you would wish. And the statement that was made earlier today was that, well, this administration and this county executive works very well with us, better than the last two administrations. So what are you worried about? I'm not worried. If we're getting cooperation, that's great. What about the next administration? What about the administration after that one? This is a slippery slope. We're going to, you know, make history tonight, allowing rules and policies to be broken whenever they need to. And I believe the pool should be fixed. This is not about the pool. This is about the division of government. You know, who's the executive portion of government, who is the legislative portion of government, and what are their rules and regulations by which we govern. If we can start bending the rules, there's a lot of things I would like to change on the executive side. I think we could strive for efficiency on that end, but I'm not allowed to do that. I'm a legislator. I'm in the legislative body. I am not in the executive portion of government. And the executive portion of government should not be messing with our policies and our laws. And it's not about the pool.
Legislator Collins, you need to borrow time from someone. Legislator McCullough, thank you.
I agree in many respects with Legislator Litz. I would be more than happy to work with Legislator Litz and any other legislators to come up with a very clear policy going to the future for when grants can be applied for and what the process is and what the timing is going into the future. I think that there's been a question about that in certain committees. I think that we do need clarification on that. We do need better rules. We do need those policies that are going to work better for the county. And I'd be more than happy to help work on what those rules could be.
Legislator Nolan for the second time.
Yes. It's been said twice, I think, that there is a policy that governs this and makes it, that says that the executive cannot submit an application in a situation like this. I don't believe that's the case. We did discuss it and ask to try to find such a policy. The statement that it is under the law that we can't commit funds without the legislature voting is true, but my understanding is that no funds have been committed until we take a positive vote tonight, which I sincerely hope that we will do. It's good for us to get clearer about the policy, but I don't believe it is a fact that we have a policy on this. We certainly do have a policy about not committing funds, but that's not the situation in front of us here.
Thank you. Did I see your hand, Legislator McCullough?
I just want to say, in the committee meeting, this was an emergency, not something that they saw coming. And from the sound of it, if we do this or we don't do it, exec is going to go forward with fixing the pool. So either we're on the line for 100% or 20%. So do the math.
Legislator Maloney, you need to borrow time. Minority Leader Roberts, thank you.
Just a point that was mentioned before that we seem to be just moving past is we have local contractors and even an engineer here that says there's a strong possibility that this could have been a quicker and cheaper fix right in the middle of the hottest summer any of us have ever experienced. We shut down the pool for a massive overhaul when we may have been able to get through and then taken our time on the grant process to do even bigger and better renovations on a 50-year-old pool that maybe our DPW is not capable of taking care of.
Thank you. On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one no, Legislator Maloney.
Short yes, one no, Legislator Litz.
Thank you.
The resolution is adopted 21 to 2.
Legislator Walls, would you like to be recorded on Resolution 410?
That's a yes vote.
Thank you.
The correct vote on Resolution 410 is that it is adopted 22 to 1.
Majority Leader, you should tell.
As that is the close of our resolutions that had been submitted formally prior to a submission that I made for close of business today, I would like to offer Resolution 417 in consideration of the body in accordance with Rule 10, Section G, Subsection 4.
And would anyone like to speak on this?
Well, let me read it.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Resolution 417, calling for the censure of the legislator, Joe Maloney.
Majority Leader Uchitel, then Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Chair Criswell. I do not take this lightly. I did not. This is not something that I ever wanted to have to do. The conduct at the law enforcement meeting on July 3rd was completely inappropriate. I am submitting this censure in the hopes that we never see a repeat of this, not just for the sake of those involved, but also for the sake of the public that might attend our meetings, might watch our meeting recordings, and never
should have to hear that type of language and those types of altercations happen in a legislative meeting. It's not in accordance with the rules. Censure is part of our procedure, and I believe this is a moment when we should utilize this tool to publicly make clear that this is not consistent with the behavior that should be accepted in this legislature.
Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I find this resolution troublesome, only for a lot of reasons, but I just found out about this at 3:30 today. This legislative meeting happened on July 3rd before the 4th of July, and we're just putting this censure resolution in now. You know, Legislator Maloney should have the right to speak to an attorney about this. This resolution cannot be postponed. It cannot be amended. I just think the timing is wrong, and it could have been done differently.
Legislator Harmon, and then Legislator Kitchen.
Thank you, Chair. In regard to speaking to an attorney, censure is not a legally binding action. It is an acknowledgement of the feeling and the will of the body. So I don't know where that comes to bear. As someone who, as a part of my other professional life, works as a DEI educator, I found the comments that were made in that committee meeting to be racist and xenophobic, and I want to be very clear. To say that statements are racist is not the same as calling a person racist, though anyone who's benefited from whiteness and not noticed it, which would be pretty much all of us, is, and that's the first step to not being anymore. So I signed on to this for that reason, but also because as a woman, I felt a strong need to support my fellow legislator, Legislator Hansett, who was treated terribly in that meeting. And as a person of color myself, I felt a personal need to take a stand. It was abusive behavior by any definition I could come up with. Thank you.
Legislator Kitchen, and then Legislator Hansett.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to echo Legislator Roberts' comments. I just found out about this about 4 o'clock this afternoon while I was at work. I read the article in the paper. I haven't had a chance to watch the video of that meeting. This was kind of come about at a late moment. I would caution my fellow legislators. I will not sit here, and I don't want to sit here and talk about someone else's character. I believe that we're all responsible for our own actions. Like I said, I just found out this resolution at the last minute, and tonight's the 16th, and this meeting happened on the 3rd. It just seems like a little bit late, and I'm not prepared to vote on this tonight.
Legislator Hansett.
I am very much about someone that tries to run a good meeting, play by the rules, and that there should be respect and decorum at the level of government that we all serve in. If we look at the fourth whereas, and it says whereas, notwithstanding the chair's attempts to restore order and repeated calls for recess, Legislator Maloney flagrantly disregards the chair's directives and spoke over the chair, causing a disruption of county government. If anyone took the time to look at the tape, I had to call for a recess 4 times before we stopped for a recess.
Legislator Kitchen for the second time.
I think maybe we got to narrow the conversation to the actions that maybe that took place. I just don't feel it's necessary, and it shouldn't be allowed that we should sit here tonight and make personal attacks against another legislator either. Let's just keep it to the facts. And we start calling people racists and things. I don't know this. I wasn't at the meeting. I read it in the paper. I don't remember the paper saying anything about racial things being mentioned. So I'm kind of lost at how we got here and what we're doing here tonight, actually. I'm sorry. Thank you.
I have Legislator Walls, then Maloney, then Litz.
It's not addressing a person. It's addressing a conduct. So I think they need to separate that. It's not a condemnation of a person. It's a condemnation or calling out the conduct of that meeting, which I was at, and went from 0 to 60 very quickly. And there was another participant, which obviously is not under our area of responsibility. But I think that should be noted as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Legislator Maloney.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, and here I am, stuck in the middle with 70% of the country. The things that I bring up, the things I talk about, the sad fact is that the political class doesn't actually end up representing the way the people actually feel. We need to talk about the border. We need to talk about immigration. We need to talk about crime. We do. And if every time somebody brings it up, they're going to be called a racist. So offensive. It's just so offensive. There's legislative bodies out there that would probably censor that, what just happened to me. Look, was I intense? Was I loud? Absolutely. Was I the first one who raised my voice? Fact, no. Was I the first one to point? Fact, no. Was I the first one to curse? No. Was I the first one to threaten? No. Did I refuse to leave the room? No. The other gentleman did. Did I have a gun? No, I didn't. Somebody else might have. Did I threaten to kick somebody's teeth in? No, I didn't. What's amazing to me is how mutual this argument was and how the political class, the establishment, wants to protect one of their own and get rid of and ruin somebody that's a thorn in their side all the time. The hot mic was a beautiful thing after the sheriff refused to leave the room. He refused to leave the room. Deputy executive walked up and says, "Let's go. You're leaving." "No, I'm not going anywhere. I'm the sheriff." I mean, the hot mic that was there is not a very good piece of equipment. And depending on where you're sitting, you get picked up differently. I was definitely picked up louder than him. But if you listen, it was a back and forth. He was the aggressor. I reacted. And you know what? I've taken a lot of stuff up here. I just got called a racist. I take it. Not happy
about
it.
Point of order. Chair,
I was called a racist. I know you explained you weren't calling me a racist, but you called
me a
racist.
I hear the point of order.
I very specifically spoke to the behavior, not the person. They are not the same. And I want to reiterate that point emphatically.
Thank you. Please.
If I called it a silly comment, would it not be calling someone silly? I mean, it's quite offensive. And if you knew me and my life and the actions throughout my life and my family, it's the farthest thing from me. And I don't think anything trying to talk about these things is racist. But back to the point. How am I being censored when the sheriff, the most powerful person in the county, did everything you're accusing me of doing first? And I stand by. I've never reacted that way in 5 or 6 years up here, and I've been talked to in ways I didn't like, but I was trying to ask tough questions that have a lot to do with health and safety, questions that need to be answered. And what am I supposed to do when I'm pointed at? And the voice is raised. And one time you hear, I say, "You can't do that. You can't come in here and point at me." You know what he said? "Yes, I can. And you all just want me to shut up and take it." That's basically what you're telling me. Joe, shut up and take it. It was very unfortunate how two men behaved back and forth to each other. One was very reactive, very aggressively reactive. One was the aggressor. And I just don't know. How do you drop a couple of A-bombs? How do you stand up, with, I assume, a firearm on them, and flinch to go across the table, to threaten to come across the table at me, and then talk about kicking my teeth in, and here we are censoring me? What is the deal here? I know you guys don't like me, but come up with something a little fairer than this. And can we please talk about real things? Can we talk about the amount of people we have in the jail that have gone through our jail? What's the difference between whether we call customs or we don't? Can we talk about the smash and grabs? You know, I got contacted by the head of security from one of the big stores in the town of Ulster, thanking me for bringing up what I brought up. They don't know what to do anymore, and they're getting no cooperation from the DA or the sheriff's department. These were real questions I was asking, questions that may lead to saving lives or not. And I wasn't treated well, and I didn't react well to it. But those are the facts. And then listen to that hot mic. Listen to that beautiful thing after the sheriff refuses to leave. And he talks about kicking my teeth in as people laugh and then come up with ways to get rid of me. Thank you, Ken Ronk, for knowing how much my constituents love me. But other than that, it was a pretty disturbing. And then to hear a deputy executive go, "Is that recorder on?" Somebody goes, "Yes." Silence. And then after a while, we hear, "We'll talk about it later offline." And then for a week, no one would even respond to my request for that recorder. And then I was told that there were lawyers involved because you all didn't want that hot mic to even be released. Disgusting, disgusting, disgusting. And I stand Maloney. I've had more people, Democrats included,
Maloney,
Democrats
you're
included,
out, you're out of time
come
now.
To me and
I
thank
can,
me for bringing these things up.
I'm going to move on to the next person, and I can come back to you if you'd like. So, Legislator Litz, and then Legislator Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. All it is saddens me. My first two, maybe three terms in this body, I get in a car and race up to Kingston, very enthusiastic about the work we're going to do for the people of this great county of Ulster. I was very happy. I was very proud to be a county legislator. Very proud that we did not conduct ourselves like Washington, D.C. or even Albany, New York, where you're always hearing about some collusions or things that went on that you just couldn't believe. But I said, you know, local government's not like that. My past couple terms, not as quick to jump in the car and run to Kingston because we've politicized things much like Albany does and Congress does. Instead of judging things on the merit of the resolution and what's best for the people of this county, it's now judged on politics. Which side of the aisle did it come from? Who's on it and who's not on it? There's so much back and forth in this chamber over non-merit issues about a resolution. It's more about he said, she said, I shouldn't say racist because then I'll probably be called one or whatever. But that's not our work. That's not what we were elected to do here. Unfortunately, my colleague that sits, and I probably can't mention his name, he gets a little upset and he says a lot of things. And you know, he needs to behave better, in my opinion, to my standard. But the shame of it all is he comes up with some good ideas. And the first thing that happens is people close their ears because he's saying it. And that's the wrong way to govern. It shouldn't be governed on what he says or you say or somebody else says. It should be based on the merits of the resolution before us and not about politics. I don't know why we need to be politicize everything. It makes for bad government.
Legislator Collins.
So we're all elected officials, and as elected officials, we have a duty to the public. And one of those duties is to take responsibility for our own behavior. What I've heard tonight is someone not taking any responsibility for their own behavior. What I've heard tonight is someone deflecting that behavior on someone else and saying, he made me do this. That to me is not what an elected official should be saying. An elected official should be saying, I take responsibility for screwing up when I screw up. This is not about politics. It's not about the issues of that were brought up. It's about the behavior of the person who brought up those issues. If you put those same questions up and did it in a respectful, reasonable way, that would be a different, thank you, that would be a different issue. It's not about the issue. It's about how he presented himself. It's about how he attacked another elected official in our county. That is the reason I support the censure. And one more thing is, it appears that there's a certain pride in being censured, which to me is not, doesn't make sense to me. If I'd been censured, I wouldn't be holding a sign up saying I've been censured. If I'd been censured, I would be looking to see what I could do to be a better official. I would look to see what I could do to be more responsible for my constituents instead of being proud of being called out by my colleagues.
Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you.
I'm Chris Hewitt, and I'm a racist. Racism is racial bias plus power. It's not just hatred. It's not just bias. It's the power that makes us racists. I'm an anti-racist racist because I'm against it. But because of my privilege and the power I've grown up with, including the power in this room, I am a racist. I'm surprised to hear Legislator Litz talking about what he just said, because I remember last year you said it was Joe's insults that made you reluctant to run. We're talking about censure, not censor. We're not censoring somebody not to talk. And most of you know that I've always been supportive of Legislator Maloney over the past 2.5 years. We often hear all yes except two, Maloney and Hewitt. You heard that tonight. I think this time Legislator Maloney went too far. To talk about ICE as if it's a good thing is to talk about the SS Gestapo as if it was a good thing. They didn't practice catch and release. They caught Jews and they killed them. Legislator Maloney mentioned catch and release. We're not fishing. Why do people in Central and South America come to the United States? They love our quality of life? No, because we've terrorized them for decades, since the 1950s. The first documented assassination of a president of the CIA is killing the Guatemalan president. Why? Because we've terrorized them with our School of the Americas, which has been shut down 2 different times. When it was shut down again in the year 2000, they had already trained 100,000 military in Central and South America.
Legislator Hewitt, I do want you to keep
to the point.
Topic at hand here.
Okay. Censorship. When we go too far and we say that ICE is a good thing, then it's possible to be censured. School of the Americas in Georgia trained all of these people to terrorized nations that are now coming here. The people are terrorized. When Rigoberta Menchu...
Chair, is this why I'm being censored?
I've actually...
You think I'm off topic?
Yes, please. Please keep it to the actual resolution in front of me.
Okay. I met someone in Kingston who, although the Guatemalan Civil War ended in 1996, we might act like these issues aren't happening. He wanted to show me a video of a man who was burned
to death. I'm going to ask you again. Please keep it to the resolution in front of you. There's nothing in that resolution about what you're talking about. Please keep it to the resolution in front of you.
Okay.
The censure of Legislator Maloney.
Thank you. I think that when we go too far, it's possible to become censured. And I've always been supportive of Legislator Maloney. But when we try to whisk things under the carpet, like the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, which used to be School of the Americas, changed their name, then we have an issue and we can't have respect
or
decorum
within our body.
Thank you very much. Legislator Kovacs, then Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a chance to listen to the audio this afternoon of the meeting, and I was disappointed in the conduct of my colleague and the sheriff. Both gentlemen used vulgarities. They were disrespectful, and that is conduct that is beneath this chamber. I think my colleague has raised some very good questions, but perhaps he did not state those questions in a clear manner, and he engaged with the sheriff, who engaged with him as well, in a manner which is really unacceptable. So on those narrow grounds, I will be supporting this resolution, but I am disregarding the whereas clauses. I do believe that our chair, Legislator Hansett, conducted herself very well in a very difficult situation. Thank you.
Thank you. Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to drift off topic just for 10 seconds, and then I'll hop right back on. There was an unfortunate incident on Saturday where the former president was almost assassinated. And right after that, leaders of both parties, President...
What does this have to do with the resolution?
I am going to ask you to stick to the resolution, please.
Yes, the President of the United States called for calm in the nation, called for us to work together. I don't think this resolution does it. I don't think calling, speaking of whiteness, as it's a bad thing, or calling state and behaviors racist. Calling out crime is not racist. There's white people, brown people, black people. They're all victims of crime. And I'm going to get back to on this resolution itself, or the whereases. It says here in the beginning that Legislator Maloney arrived late for the meeting and failed to record half the committee's votes, advertised business. You know, I think we're all guilty of that. You know, Legislator Maloney is a successful businessman. He had to wait for help to come in and get to the meeting. That should be striking out, like it's a shame to come in late. Then the next one, it says he advanced unsubstantial claim that undocumented United States residents are causing an increase in crime. I never heard that. I was sitting right next to him. We were talking about one specific incident that happened that the public defender knew about, but the sheriff didn't know anything about it. And I'll go back a little further. The head of security did call me also of a department store and spoke to me and thanked me for bringing this up. And he told me some facts that was going on. June 8th, three young ladies came into a department store. One is on the lookout. The other two have big bags, and they fill up their bags, and they run out.
Legislator Roberts, you're going off topic now.
No, I'm talking.
The resolution in front of you does not talk about anything that you're saying right
now. It does right here. Residents are causing an increase in crime.
What we're talking about is the censorship.
It's a whereas right here.
Yeah, it's a long resolution. Right. He spent a lot of time on it.
Okay, I'll allow it.
Yeah, you know, we should be able to talk about crime in this county. And thank you, Majority Leader. I know we had a conversation about it, too. We're both very forthcoming with each other. I do appreciate that. There's an incident June 8th. The same gang came June 28th. Not only did they rob the department store in question, they also robbed a previous one that, just minutes earlier. These same perpetrators also were caught in Middletown and White Plains for the same crimes. They have a total of six felonies among them. It's you know, and the sheriff acted like he didn't know anything about it. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. I'm going to go to the next whereas, where the chair, Legislator Hansett, tried to restore order and call for recess. Yeah, she did. I heard that. Legislator Maloney did disregard, and so did the sheriff. They're arguing over each other as two grown men who got in an argument and got out of control. Is one wrong and the other one isn't? I can't see that. Joe was shouting over the sheriff. The sheriff did jump up, point at Joe first. It's very unfortunate. The sheriff is in a position of authority. He's the head law enforcement figure in this county. You know, he should have more responsibility than getting a verbal outburst with Legislator Maloney. I believe that's it on the resolution. I'm going to be a no on this. I'm going to urge my colleagues to vote no, and hopefully we can move on from this and all get back together and working together and facing the real problems of our county.
Thank you. Legislator Hewitt for the second time.
Thank you. First point is Sheriff Figueroa is not our colleague that we have rules around. And also, I saw in the paper that a Saugerties man molested a six-year-old girl recently. Should we stay away from Saugerties residents?
Legislator Collins for the second time.
If I saw any remorse from our colleague, I might consider voting no on this. But I've seen no remorse. I've seen no personal responsibility. That's my gauge of what my vote will be. Is does someone take personal responsibility for the mistakes they've made and errors that they've made? And I've seen none here.
Thank you. I have Legislator McCullough and then Legislator Clinton.
For me, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And it's not what you do, but how you do it. Being in this position, we should always be in control. And it's good to ask questions, but we should ask questions for information purposes, not accusatory. Thank you.
Thank you. Legislator Clinton.
I watched the recording of the meeting, and I must say that I expect better behavior from my middle school students. Behaviors have consequences, and I believe that this censure is necessary. And out of support for the committee chair, Hansett, I would also recommend removal from the Law Enforcement and Public Safety Committee if these behaviors continue, as this behavior was highly inappropriate, and we should all hold ourselves as legislators to a much higher standard of decorum. Thank you.
Majority Leader Uchitel.
Thank you. I do want to just quickly say a couple things. One, I will be asking for a long roll on this. So if anyone is, wants to speak, you could always speak then as well. I want to be very clear for those following along at home that a censure is not being censored. All right. No one is being not being able to cast their votes to speak. That's not the effect of this at all. It is a censure, not a censor. The question of crime, I chaired that committee for some time. When I was chairing that committee, the Law Enforcement Public Safety Committee, I worked very closely with the sheriff when there were issues of crime that were trends that people would bring to me. We would discuss it. We would discuss it in committee. We would discuss it out of committee. The sheriff was always very forthcoming in those conversations, sometimes didn't have the information, sometimes had to go and get that information. The case, the incident that was referenced by an earlier speaker is being handled by the Town of Ulster Police. It's not an incident that's being handled by the sheriff's office. They don't know about every single incident that happens in our county, even though they do a great job. They're not everywhere at all times, and they don't necessarily know everything. But when they're approached, when the head of that department is approached, the elected head of that department is approached in such an aggressive way, I think that they actually did a good job holding it together considering the way that they were approached. And I encourage anyone to go watch the tape and decide for yourself how you feel about it. All right. So those were some of the points that I wanted to make. And crime is an issue, and it is a concern. It's a concern in my district. It's a concern in all of our districts. We don't know how the conversation could have unfolded if it was handled in a more level-headed way. We don't know the answers to the questions that Minority Leader Roberts brought in that committee meeting. And that actually was a big part of the conversation that Minority Leader Roberts and I had the next day, was about that issue, because I genuinely want to understand these issues and bring them forward. I think we all do. But that's not what happened at that law enforcement committee meeting. It could have happened, and the reason I introduced this resolution is so that it can one day hopefully happen again. We have felt the temperature increase and increase and increase session after session. Every session I come home from this place and I say, wow, that was crazy. I hope it doesn't get any weirder than that. And every month it gets weirder and weirder. It didn't used to be like this. I introduced this resolution so that we can all agree, or those that feel that that behavior is inappropriate can agree, that we want to go back to a place where we can actually talk about policy, where we can actually talk about crime in the community, rather than having it approached in a way that isn't intended to get answers, that is intended to put people on the spot, that is intended to try and back people into a corner and accuse them of their policies or whatever it is, right? We want to actually have discussions again, and I hope that we can go back to that place. Thank you.
Legislator Hansett for the second time.
I have to agree with the majority leader in what he just said. Whether you agree with the policies of the sheriff or whoever else, that wasn't the issue for me. The issue was the aggressiveness about the issue. You cannot agree on things, and that's fine. We all bring something to the table. But for it to escalate as fast as it did, nothing gets accomplished. So that's all I have to say right now.
Thank you. There was a legislator.
One last question.
Legislator Maloney for the second time, and then I'll get to you, Legislator Kitchen.
My stupid games.
I'm not going to allow that.
Aggressive by the
I'm not going to allow that, Legislator Maloney.
In order to defend myself and prove that was a blood-curdling scream. That was before the sheriff, with a sidearm, I assume, stood up and threatened to go across the table at me. Look, I don't show a lot of remorse. Was it my finest moment? No, but it was a mutual argument between another man, an armed man that was the aggressor, the one who pointed and raised his voice first, the one who cursed, the one who threatened. I just can't get over it. But you know what? And it really was. To me, I really felt in the moment, and I remember feeling this way, I can't back down to this. I cannot back down. These are two important questions. And for anyone to say that those questions were being answered or could have been answered, listen to Kevin attempt to ask the questions. He was shut down, ignored, and probably lied to about what the sheriff actually knew. And then I tried to push a little more with my questions. Was it aggressive? Was it a bit of a cross-examination? Absolutely. Was it well within Robert's Rules of Order? Absolutely. Absolutely. The same, you know, and I don't think the censorship just came out of nowhere. People have been unhappy with me for years. Paradise Lane, Purchase Price, CARES 1 and 2, Corruption, Burke, Goldnick, 701 Grand Avenue, Skytop, and the conditions in homeless shelters, Elizabeth Street, Mustang Man, Tech City, all of these things that I brought up and exposed. First of all, the sponsor of this bill fought me on every single one of those, and it turned out I was right in every single one, put somebody in jail, proved corruption, proved inefficiency, saved millions of dollars, all with the same style, because no one wants to answer the questions in this county. Nobody wants to be forthright. So it does turn into a little bit of a cross-examination. The same way you see when you see an oversight committee on TV, when you turn on C-SPAN and you see our legislators on higher levels, the same kind of tough questions. It's not comfortable. You don't want to be the one on the other side of them sometime. I know I do my homework, and I did the same thing to the sheriff. And that's when the sheriff said he wasn't going to put up with that. He was going to point in my face and tell me he didn't have to answer the questions. He was going to raise his voice. So I did it right back. It was too important. To me, it was almost a question of our democracy. If I'm going to sit there with such important questions on the line, health and safety on the line, I got four kids in a business. I am seeing the real effects of the border. So are other people in the area, and I'm not scared to say it. It's real, and it's going to get realer. And if I was going to sit there as a father, as a legislator, as an American, as a husband, as a business owner, and let the most powerful man in the county shut me down, raise his voice to me, tell me I don't have to answer your questions, eventually get up and threaten to come across the table, I'm not going to take it. Guess what else? What else I'm not going to take? Nobody's going to grab my wife's butt. I'm going to kick their ass. And if you got and if you get serious like that with me and you start to threaten me, I'm not one of those people that's just going to back down. But I was threatened. I was threatened. I was the one that was threatened first. All I did was stand my ground to the most powerful person that was armed in the county with really important questions on the line. And it's not just that. Those are the things I named. This is retribution for all the establishment sycophants to finally get me back in this silly little censorship. And it is about being really censored. I'm going to wear this around to every meeting. I'm going to wear it proudly. I'm going to wear it at work tomorrow. I'm probably going to have 50 or 60 customers come in, give me high fives. I'm going to have people from different police agencies come in and give me high fives, just like they did last weekend, to thank me for what I brought up, for thank me for taking on the political sheriff. Democrats and Republicans alike are begging for us to be real people, have real conversations, and look what we get worked up over. Look at this. I was too aggressive. I was too mean. People are living and dying out there, just like I kept saying to Juan in the meeting. People are living and dying out there, and we don't care. We sit up here patting ourselves on the back. All the fun and games. I can't even ask a question through the chair anymore to a lawyer or a CPA, but we can have people run around and take pictures. That's not demeaning. What a joke. This is all. I'm sorry. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's a joke. I don't feel bad for
all
what
right.
I did.
I'm actually kind of just proud of myself that I stood up for something that was right.
I fought a good fight. I told my constituents I was going to fight for him when I was elected. And you know what? In that moment, I fought against an overly aggressive sheriff that didn't want to answer tough questions.
I'm going to ask you to keep your comments civil.
Am I about to be censored again?
Just be honest with me.
Legislator Maloney, are you working another one up right now? I am asking
you to keep your comments civil. Thank you. Legislator Kitchen, for the second.
Can we kindly call each other racist?
Legislator Kitchen, you have got to borrow time from somebody? Yes, from Legislator Walls. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have one question. I don't understand if this happened on, like I said before, July 6th. Why did I get a text message at 4 o'clock this afternoon and without having time to digest this? I feel like this is being rushed through. I'm not taking anybody's side here, and I'm going to be the first one to say, you know, you have to act professional. You have to act, set yourself in a professional manner. And I've been doing this now for 17 years in Ulster County as a elected official. So I know that. I just don't understand the timing, how this came down at the 11th hour. And I've had these issues in the past with local government putting things through in the 11th hour. Can just somebody answer that question, why it happened so late in the game where I didn't have an opportunity to digest this, watch the video on this? That's, I just want an answer on that. How did it come about this afternoon at 4 o'clock?
Thank you. We're not doing a questions back and forth in this. This is comments. Thank you. Legislator Hewitt, you need to borrow time from someone? From Legislator Stewart. Thank you.
Thank you. I feel like in the last couple of months, I've been shut down whenever I start talking about difficult things. Legislator Maloney just started listing topics that we all don't support. Tech City, Burt Golnick, Golden Hill. I would never censure Legislator Maloney on those topics. I love hearing him talk about those topics. It's specifically immigration I'm talking about. And I'd like to finish my 2 points that I had.
Actually, I'm not going to allow that.
Why?
Because we are actually talking about the censorship right now.
We're not talking about this topic right now,
Legislator Hewitt. Thank you. Legislator Hansett, you need to borrow time.
It's okay, because what I said, I want to stick to this, and it was going to be more personal about hearing every single meeting how there's only one legislator that cares. I care. I show up. I take a lot of pride in the work and the homework that I do. And every single meeting at session, I am told I don't care.
Is this why I'm censored?
There has been a long roll called, and I am going to call the vote on the long roll.
Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes, and I would like to speak to why I am voting yes, and that is, I did watch the video, and the sheriff answered the questions very clearly, and I think we're very fortunate in Ulster County to have Sheriff Figueroa, who is as fair as a sheriff could be, leading that department. He did answer the questions, and the questions persisted. And then the argument escalated. That shouldn't have happened on everyone's account. And I really, my sympathies go to Chair Hansett for that committee and having to handle that situation. So I am voting yes to censure because I think the behavior was inappropriate.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes, and I suggest reading the book, I, Rigoberta Menchu.
Kitchen.
I'm going to say no for the simple reason I just found this out and not have a chance to watch the video and make my own assumptions because I was not at that meeting.
Kovacs.
As an attorney, if I was disrespectful to a judge in court who used vulgar language, I'm sure counsel, both counsels, would agree that at best, the judge would take me back into the chambers and tell me what's up. At worst, I could be sanctioned and fined. As Mr. Pascal told me earlier, I could be taken into custody. So that same conduct applies to our chamber. The conduct of both gentlemen, the sheriff and my colleague, was unprofessional. And the language used, the disrespect for the chair, on those narrow grounds, I'm voting yes.
Levine.
I agree with the comments that were just stated by Legislator Kovacs. My vote on this resolution has nothing to do with what was said by Legislator Maloney. It is entirely based on how it was said. I also believe that I agree with Legislator Minority Leader Roberts' statement on that we need to tone down the rhetoric in this country, in our state, and in our local governments in light of what happened this past weekend. I agree wholeheartedly with that. I believe that this resolution hopefully will be a sign of things to come in terms of toning down that rhetoric. So again, this has nothing to do with the content of what was said. It is about us as elected officials. We must hold ourselves to a higher standard of behavior and how we say things and how we interact with other people. And the behavior of another person does not excuse our behavior. Sometimes in a situation, in an argument, you have to be the bigger person and be the one to walk away from a situation where somebody is acting unprofessionally. So I agree with the sentiment from a lot of my colleagues that Legislator Maloney asks tough questions that I think need to be answered. I agree a lot of times with the spirit of what he is saying, but it is critical that we act in a manner that is respectful to our colleagues, to the public, other elected officials, and to ourselves. And so my vote on this resolution, regrettably, is a yes for those reasons.
Litz.
My first thought is to abstain. Because I work late today, I didn't see the email. I didn't know anything about what happened at that meeting until caucus tonight at 5:30. Well, I got here at 5:30. I saw the resolution and said, what's this about? And then I found out in caucus what had happened. Again, 11th hour. It's not even 11th hour. It's 11:45. Like I said, my first impetus is to abstain because I don't have the information. I didn't see the video. If somebody would have told me about it, I probably would have got on my computer sometime in the past week or week and a half and looked at the video. Nobody reached out to me. Nobody told me what happened. I knew absolutely nothing about that until today, 5:45, maybe 6:00. And now I gotta vote. But I do have to say, my fellow legislator, Levine, probably stated it better than I could. Joe can be rough around the edges, very rough around the edges sometimes. But he comes up with some really good ideas, and he brings up things that sometimes the rest of us overlook or don't consider. And in that respect, he's a value to this body. He sees the other side of the coin that maybe I don't or some other people don't. And I feel bad voting yes to censure him because he does have good ideas. But on the flip side of the coin, the way he goes about it is not right. We should be held to a higher standard here. We're county government. We need to bring a better decorum to this body. And we really need to stop bickering over politics and get to the work that we got elected to do to represent Ulster County constituents on the matters at hand, which have nothing to do with politics.
Your vote, sir?
I'm going to pass.
Okay.
Lopez.
First, I want to start off by apologizing to my colleague, Legislator Hansett. In caucus earlier, I had suggested that, you know, perhaps there was a leadership issue in committee that contributed to things getting out of control. And I had a moment to actually watch the video back, and I realized that, you know, she did everything that she could in order to keep things under control, and it was just the nature of what happened, you know, that made it difficult. So with that said, you know, I'm not a big fan of this censure. I think it's a political tool, you know, used to as a public chastising. And there's no recourse to it. And the fact that there were two parties to this and only one is being called out just kind of reinstates the political nature of what we're voting on tonight. So with that said, I'm going to be a no.
McCullough.
First, I'd like to say that when we speak, we should be accurate.
Could you put your microphone a little?
When we speak, we should be accurate. In the meeting, the sheriff did not say he would not answer the questions. He said he would not answer a hypothetical question. Big difference. So my vote is yes. Like I said, it's not what we say, it's how we say it, not what we do, but how we do it. And we need to be better. So my vote is yes. Thank you.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Legislator Litz is right. We have a lot of important work to do. For one thing I can think of, we have to stop a landfill in Wawarsing and find a better solution coming up. So for that reason alone, or I shouldn't say that, for part of that reason is we do have work to do. I'm going to be a no on this, and hopefully we can move forward together.
Barry.
Yes.
Stewart.
I want to say that I agree with what was a lot of what has been said, especially the comments made by Legislator Novaks and Legislator Levine. I personally have respect for our colleague, Legislator Maloney, and I think that he says a lot of things that need to be said. I do, however, think that he and others need to watch how those things are said. I'm very upset by the whole situation. I have great sympathy for Legislator Hansett, who I think handled the situation as well as anyone could have, given the circumstances. I just feel like we need to treat each other better, and I think we need to work to lower the temperature. So based on just the behavior that was witnessed, and even though, you know, we have no control over the actions of the sheriff, I think that he behaved poorly too. But it gives me no pleasure to vote yes on this.
You should tell.
I believe that there should be a brighter future in the way that we are able to discuss things. Even the comments from folks that I don't necessarily agree with on this conversation about what
important issues should be discussed. Even those comments deserve to have a better conversation than the environment that was created on July 3rd. I am voting yes tonight on in consideration of all of us who need to conduct the people's business, who have been elected to do so, in consideration of every department head, all of the other elected officials that come to our meetings, in consideration of every chair of every committee who has an important responsibility to run an orderly meeting so that the people's business can be conducted, and on behalf of the general public who needs to know that they can walk into this space and see people.
I'm going to call on Legislator Joe Donaldson to read the names of community members who have recently passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've had a couple of giants in Ulster County pass away last month, and I'll just get right into it and read them. William Uncle Willie Gouldy from Kingston. I don't know what you could even say about Willie. I've known Willie since I was 15 years old. He was a big influence here. I'm a big music fan, and that's the reason I kind of got to know Willie, because Willie had clubs all over the place that I used to go to when I was 15 years old. Willie, you will be missed. We also have Robert Chaloner from Hurley, the former Hurley supervisor. We have Roger P. Blatter from West Hurley. Lenore Giassante from Milton. Reverend Edmund R. Burke from Rosendale, who I knew the Reverend from St. Mary's here in Kingston. L. Allen Lunn from Kingston, former Town of Kingston Highway Superintendent. Lamar C. Carter from Clagsmore. And Ken, excuse me, Legislator Fenichel from Middletown, who is Legislator Hewitt's father-in-law. My condolences, Legislator Hewitt. And I would like to add Peter L. DeFalco from the town of Ulster, too.
Thank you. I'm Legislator Hewitt, and then Legislator Litz.
I just want to mention, I wrote my editorial in the July issue of Midtown Lively about Ken Fenichel. My legal last name is Fenichel Hewitt. I took my wife's last name when I got married. 24 years ago. I wrote about how 3 weeks ago I had an intense conversation with Ken at the dinner table, and we disagreed the whole time, and we made it uncomfortable in the room, and afterwards we hugged and kissed and said, I love you. And a few days later he called and said, this world needs dreamers like you, Chris. And so it's great to have these debates and conversations with people, and my father-in-law's voice will be missed.
Legislator Litz.
Yes, I would like to add the name of Mary Jane Hurd from Kingston, New York.
Legislator Levine, and then Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to add the name of Angela Houlihan of Saugerties. Angela was a longtime teacher in Ulster County. She began her teaching career actually in the Bronx at St. Catherine Academy, teaching from 1969 to 73, and then moved to Ulster County, working at St. Mary's of the Snow in Saugerties from 1973 to 82. And her leadership skills shone very brightly as she took on the role of principal at St. Joseph's School in Kingston from 1982 to 88. And she concluded her illustrious career, and how I knew her, as a beloved Spanish teacher and dean of students at Saugerties High School from 1988 to 2010, where she left a lasting mark on the lives of countless students. So I would most certainly like to extend my deepest condolences to her family, especially to her daughter, Caitlin, who I was a classmate of at Saugerties. And, you know, may her memory be a blessing to all that knew her. She was a wonderful human being who changed the lives of so many students, and she will be deeply and sorely missed. So I just wanted to bring attention to the wonderful things that she did in her life. So thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry for your loss, Legislator Hewitt, and I hope this is appropriate. I'd like to just add the name of Corey Caparatore. He's a fire chief, a former fire chief from Pennsylvania who died by assassin's bullet protecting his wife on Saturday.
Thank you. I'd like to now call on Deputy Minority Leader Craig Lopez to offer some closing words.
Thank you. Well, on a lighter note, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to make closing remarks this evening recognizing National Disability Pride Month. As we commemorate Disability Pride Month, I find myself reflecting on my own journey and the collective experiences of individuals like myself who navigate the world with disabilities. This month holds a special significance, a time to celebrate our strengths, advocate for our rights, and promote a greater understanding within our communities. Disability Pride Month is also about awareness, and it provides a platform to challenge stereotypes and educate others about the diverse spectrum of disabilities. It's not just about physical impairments. It includes a wide range of conditions that impact individuals in various ways. By sharing our stories and experiences, we can break down barriers and promote a more inclusive society where everyone feels valued and respected. Accessibility is a critical aspect of disability awareness. From physical spaces to digital platforms, accessibility assures that individuals with disabilities can fully participate in all aspects of life. It goes beyond ramps and designated parking spaces. It encompasses everything from assistive technologies to inclusive policies that promote equal opportunities in education, employment, and recreation. Disability awareness also serves as a call to action, urging we as policymakers, businesses, and communities to prioritize accessibility and inclusion. By advocating for accessible infrastructure, inclusive policies, and representation in media and culture, we can dismantle barriers and create an equal society for future generations. With that said, awareness alone is not enough. It must be accompanied by tangible actions and meaningful initiatives that empower individuals with disabilities. Challenges, setbacks, and resilience. It's an opportunity to celebrate the strength and diversity within our disability community and honor those who have paved the way for greater equality and inclusion. As we observe this month, let us embrace the principles of empathy and respect and empowerment. Let us
Legislature will be held on Tuesday, August 20th, 2024 at 7 p.m. in the Legislative Chamber, 6th floor, Ulster County Office Building, 244 Fair Street, Kingston, New York. Resolution deadline is Wednesday, July 24th, 2024. I'd like to ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And a second. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? This meeting is adjourned.